Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave with the Seed, and we've been working on a series on the parables. In fact, this is our fourth study on the parables. And parables are word pictures that Jesus is throwing down alongside his teaching, trying to explain to us what the kingdom of heaven is like. I invite you to join me in this study in Matthew chapter 13. We've been in it for about 3 or 4 weeks. If you haven't had a chance to listen to some of the program, you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com and click on sermons and click on the messages that you're hearing here, and you can listen to them and get caught up on the kingdom parables. And I've titled this, Are You California Dreaming? Wow, are you California dreaming? We're going to be in Ezekiel chapter 31, Daniel chapter 4, and of course we'll be in Matthew 13, 31 through 32. Parables. Jesus is trying to teach or explain the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of God like? What is the kingdom of heaven like? The crowds have come to listen, and Jesus is out on a boat teaching. I'd ask you to try and put yourself out among the crowd. Jesus has taught about the sower, the seed, and the four soils and explained that parable. The one sower, one seed, along with the good soil will produce quite a harvest. Next, we've heard about the parable of the wheat and the weeds. The harvesters will be able to tell the difference between the real deal and the counterfeits. I would ask you to listen for God's word about the kingdom of heaven. I'd pray that God's word would fill us and fashion us into the people of God we are called to be. Let's listen again to, let's listen to Ezekiel chapter 31, 3 through 9. If you have your Bible and you're listening along at this time, turn to Ezekiel 31, 3 through 9. Listen, if you don't have a Bible, we would be glad to send you a Bible. You can email me at PastorDave@TheSeedChristianFellowship.com, and I will send you a Word of God, send you a Bible. Ezekiel chapter 31, 3 through 9. Consider Assyria, once a cedar in Lebanon, with beautiful branches overshadowing the forest. It towered on high, its top above the thick foliage. The waters nourished it. Deep springs made it grow tall. Their streams flowed all around its base and sent their channels to all the trees of the field. So it towered higher than all the trees of the field. Its boughs increased and its branches grew long, spreading because of abundant waters. All the birds of the air nestled in its boughs, and all the beasts of the fields gave birth under its branches. All the great nations lived in its shade. Verse 7 says, it was majestic in beauty with its spreading boughs, for its roots went down to abundant waters. The cedars in the garden of God could not rival it, nor could the pine trees equal its boughs, nor could the plane trees compare with its branches. No tree in the garden of God could match its beauty. I made it beautiful with abundant branches, the envy of all the trees of Eden in the garden of God. What a beautiful image of a beautiful tree in the garden of God. Daniel chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. These are the visions I saw while lying in my bed. I looked, and there before me stood a tree in the middle of the land. Its height was enormous. The tree grew large and strong, and its top touched the sky. It was visible to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were beautiful, its fruit abundant, and on it was food for all. Under it, the beasts of the field found shelter, and the birds of the air lived in its branches. From it, every creature was fed. Daniel chapter 4, 10 through 12. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 13. That's where we've been for the last 3 or 4 weeks. Matthew 13, we're looking at these parables, 31 through 32. Matthew 13, 31 through 32. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in its field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. The parable of the mustard seed is a very familiar parable for many people. How many of you have heard it before, I wonder? What does it mean to you? Let us set the story in the context of the passage and the time of Christ for us. The mustard seed is not really the smallest of seeds, but it is one of the smallest seeds that were common in Palestine. During the time of Christ, the mustard seed was commonly used in a proverbial way to designate something that was very small or tiny. When Jesus was performing miracle after miracle, large crowds started following him. The blind were given sight, the deaf could hear, the lame could walk, the lepers were healed, and the dead were raised. There was an excitement in the air. The crowds were attracted to this man who was preaching, teaching, and healing all who were brought to him. Then Jesus started to have confrontations with the religious leaders of his day. Jesus' message became more and more difficult to hear and follow. He would say things like, "Well, if you want to follow me, put your hand to the plow and don't look back." Wow, that's a tough statement. Follow Jesus and don't look back. He would say, "If you want to follow me, come and follow me and let the dead bury the dead. If you want to follow me, deny yourself and pick up your own cross." Following Jesus is tough work. He said, "If you want to be great, become a servant of all." That's a radical statement in our society today. Become a servant to all if you want to be great. If you want to follow me, go and sell everything you have and follow me. Oh my goodness. In our society today, what would that look like? If you want to be like me, wash each other's feet. This teaching, or these teachings, were not easy to understand and even more difficult to follow. Little by little, people left and crowds started to thin out. The miracles were not enough to keep them coming. The Pharisees, the scribes, and the teachers of the law were becoming more and more hostile. Then Jesus begins teaching them in parables, telling them that the kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who goes out to sow his seed, and the kingdom of heaven is compared to a field with weeds growing in among the wheat. Next, he teaches them about the kingdom of heaven and compares the kingdom of heaven with a mustard seed that grows into a tree that even the birds of the air can nest in. The crowds would be familiar with the word picture of the tree. They would have known the stories told in Daniel and Ezekiel, which I just read a few minutes ago, about the majestic tree. They were told these stories over and over again. They expected the tree of God to be some kind of cedar or pine or some kind of great, big, strong tree that would signify the kingdom of God, not a mustard seed. What was Jesus thinking? People were leaving his ministry for fear of the Pharisees. Can you now see that right before their very eyes, these parables were not just word pictures, but they were being lived out before their eyes? Good soil, bad soil. Good wheat, bad weeds. Why was Jesus teaching about a mustard seed? That's the question for today. Why a mustard seed? I'd like to suggest that he was teaching them two simple points. So if you're making notes in your Bible, or if you're just making notes in your mind, from small beginnings comes great results. Let me say that again. From small beginnings come great results. And number two, with faith comes fullness. With faith comes fullness. Small beginnings, great results. I believe that Jesus used the idea of a mustard seed to show them that even though they were small, they would grow and grow and grow to become the largest tree in the garden. Jesus wanted to encourage them to hang on. Jesus wanted them to see that they didn't have anything to fear. Jesus wanted to give them hope. Are you to the point of hanging it all up and giving in? I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're facing. I get emails from many people for prayer concerns. I get emails for people that are looking for a church. Just this past week, a lady emailed and asked for a local church in our area. If you need a local church, let me know. I don't know. Maybe you're ready to throw in the towel, hang it up, walk away. That's where these people were. They were ready to throw in the towel. Has fear of the future, fear of failure, fear of broken relationships, fear of your finances, fear of health caused you to lose hope? Are you finding it hard to hope in a world gone mad? This message, then, is for you. Hang on. I'm a history buff, and I love reading history books and watching the History Channel. I know, that's kind of strange. My wife, she likes watching the Weather Channel and seeing all the weather. I like watching the History Channel. When I think of small beginnings giving great results, I think of those 101 people that departed from England on December 11th in 1620 on a tiny ship called the Mayflower. 101 people. Think of it. That little ship, that little small group of people did more to change the world than many fancy voyages of great ships. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we're talking about from small beginnings come great results. Think of the 101 people that departed England on December 11th, 1620. Have you ever thought that from that small band of 101 people, this great nation got its start? When I think of small beginnings, I think of one lone person by the name of Rosa Parks, who refused to sit in the back of the bus. I think of Martin Luther King Jr. and his small band of followers. In the business world, I think of Bill Gates and Michael Dell, who took their dreams and their ideas about computers and changed the world. While I was pastoring in Texas, home of Dell Computers, I pastored in Round Rock, Texas. And that's where Michael Dell was kicked out of the University of Texas and started his computer company in a friend's garage in Round Rock, Texas. Now look at Dell Corporation. He started in a friend's garage. You should see the warehouses and the factories there in Round Rock, and Round Rock has changed tremendously. When it comes to faith and thinking of small beginnings and great results, I think of Christ's call to the disciples. Jesus called 12 to follow him. When Jesus was arrested and crucified, the disciples fled and deserted him. After his resurrection, they came back, and after his ascension into heaven, we are told that 120 scared, frightened, and hopeful followers gathered in the upper room waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, we are told that Peter preaches his first sermon, and 3,000 come to follow Christ, Acts 2:41. In Acts 4, we then read the story of Peter and John going before the Sanhedrin. And in verse 4, it says, "But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. This little mustard seed of faith called the Christian church began with 12, lost one, grew to 120, and then 3,000 were added, and shortly at that, after 5,000 were added, today there are 2.1 billion Christians worldwide. Did you hear me? From 1 to 12 to 120 to 3,000 to 5,000 to 2.1 billion Christians worldwide. Jesus was teaching them to have hope in the midst of their struggles. My question to you today, maybe one of my so what's for you today, is what is Jesus saying to you about small beginnings? What is Jesus saying to you about a small beginning. With faith comes fullness. When I was working on this passage this past week, I read all the different commentaries and let the passage become a word picture in my mind over and over again. And then I went and read the other passages in the Bible where mustard seed is mentioned. Listen to some of these words in Luke 17, 5 through 6. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And he replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it'll obey you. Wow, that's radical. Mark 11, 22 through 23, have faith in God, Jesus answered. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it'll be done. Matthew 17, 20, he replied, because you have so little faith, I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Did you hear it? Nothing will be impossible for you. Matthew 17, 20. What comes to your mind when you hear the words mustard seed and faith? Abraham Lincoln said, faith is not believing that God can, but that God will. Faith is not believing that God can, but that God will. Faith is to believe what we do not see. And the reward of this faith is to see what we believe. Faith is God. Faith in God is indispensable to successful statesmanship. That's what Abraham Lincoln said. C.H. Spurgeon, one of the wonderful pastors and teachers of old, wrote these words about faith. A little faith will bring your soul to heaven. A great faith will bring heaven to your soul. As a church at The Seed, we have just begun this series, and we started a study, Everything is Possible with God. The study is all about faith, and we're looking at the six phrases, dream, decision, delay, difficulty, dead end, and deliverance. If you haven't joined in a study or a small group, I'd encourage you to go join a small group in your church or join a small Bible study. Join with a friend at a coffee shop. Open the Word of God with another person and begin a study. I would encourage you to find a retreat weekend like a Walk to Emmaus or Tres Dias or Curcio and find God's grace. Begin again. So what? So do you believe that with a mustard seed of faith, nothing is impossible? That's the question for today. What do you believe? What do you have faith in? Do you believe that with a mustard seed of faith, nothing is impossible? Do you believe that with the fullness of faith, heaven will come to your soul? Wow. In the summer of 2008, while I was on a mission trip in Ecuador, the Lord spoke to my heart to study Isaiah 61 and Matthew 25. And these are some wonderful passages of the call of the church to minister to the outcast and the lonely. I'd encourage you to just go and listen or read Isaiah 61, 1 through 7. I'm going to read it for you. And when I was gone in South America, the Lord put it on my heart to just journal and write on Isaiah 61. My journal is full of notes from this passage. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will be renewed. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated from generation to generation. Aliens will shepherd your flocks, foreigners will work your fields and vineyards, and you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations and on their riches you will boast. Instead of their shame for My people will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance, and so they will inherit a double portion in the land. Everlasting joy will be theirs. Wow. Go read Isaiah 61, verse 7. Instead of shame and disgrace, you'll receive an inheritance, a double portion, everlasting joy. Matthew 25, 34 through 36 says that then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat, and I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. For 2 years, the Holy Spirit had me journal, read, and reflect on those two passages. And one of the questions that came to my mind was, what would a church look like if it truly lived out Isaiah 61 and Matthew 25? I desired and dreamed to be a part of a church that would help the brokenhearted, set the captives free, bring light to the prisoners, comfort those who mourn, and provide for those who grieve. I longed to help the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe those who are in need, bring healing to the sick, and comfort to the strangers. The church I was serving in Texas had 3 different services every Sunday morning. The church was growing in Christ and had many dynamic ministries and wonderful, faithful people. I was pastor, head of staff, and my total package was, well, it was good. It was more than sufficient, and I wrestled with Isaiah 61 and Matthew 25. I heard the Holy Spirit challenge me with these words, do you want to be comfortable? Oh, do you want to be a comfortable, casual Christian, or are you committed to my call? I was being convicted. I wanted to listen to God and follow the call of Christ on my life. And after much prayer and spiritual direction, I resigned my call in Round Rock to seek God's call. I sold everything, and I moved back to Rancho Cucamonga, California. I lived there before 7 years ago. In all the places I've lived, here's where my heart was called. I can't explain it. I couldn't understand God's call. And here it was that I hear the cry of those described in Isaiah 61 and Matthew 25. The Seed Christian Fellowship was being formed and the vision was being cast. And I see the vision of the Seed to be a church without walls or boundaries, a church that listens to the voice of God through the work of the Holy Spirit. I see the church in ministry to the brokenhearted, the captives, to those who are in all kinds of prisons, to those who mourn and grieve. I see the Seed as a church that welcomes the stranger, helps the sick, clothes the naked, feeds the hungry, and gives the living water to those who are thirsty. I see the church growing in grace as we all come to know God's love through God's Word. I see the Seed going out into our world, sowing seeds of faith in the world, beginning in our community. I see the Seed as a place where people's lives are transformed by the love of God found in Christ Jesus our Lord and through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. It's my dream that you can see that too. Jesus is on the shore in a small boat throwing down a word picture of faith. He knows the kingdom of heaven. He knows what the kingdom of heaven is like. He's spent a lot of time trying to convince the people. What was it that Martin Luther said? I have a dream, and so do you. And you, and you, and you, the people that are listening, every one of you have a dream. The real so what this week, and here's your homework, think about it, pray about it. What is the dream in my heart? California dreaming is not just an oldie but goodie. It's a time to dream again. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, let us dream big. Let the fullness of faith and the small beginnings have great results. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm praying for you, and know that dream is what God is giving you. With your fullness of faith and the small beginnings, you'll have great results. God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center. at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.